Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
It's Friday, July 24th. Welcome to Africa Link with me, Abubakar Jallo, in Bonn, Germany. Coming up, US President Barack Obama arrives in Kenya today for the first time as an American leader. This is what Kenyans have been telling us.
We welcome him, and I think he will come with some goodies.
He's on time because he couldn't come when there are cases on ICC.
It's too late. He should have come in the first term. I don't get the economic sense of him coming.
And a group of South African lawmakers visit President Zuma's Nkandla residence to find out what happened to the $24 million spent on a security and refurbishment upgrade.
What you feel sad about is the money that has been said to be spent, but you can't find it in the property because there's no security at all in that place.
Stay tuned to this edition of Africa Link.
Top story.
President Barack Obama arrives in Kenya today at the start of a two-nation African tour, which also takes him briefly to Ethiopia. Now, at the beginning of the week, he held talks with Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari in the White House. So does this flurry of diplomatic activity signal heightened American interest in Africa? This report by Jiro Schlees is presented now by Eunice Wanjiru.
Most observers in Washington think that President Obama's visit to Ethiopia and Kenya is an attempt to foster relations with Africa. The U.S. government has two main reasons to partner with African countries: economic interest in an increasingly prosperous continent and gaining new allies in its fight against terrorism. But analysts still insist that Africa will not be the government's top priority as far as foreign relations are concerned. Richard Downey is an Africa expert with the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington.
There's an aspiration for the United States and for President Obama to support democracy and good governance. On his first trip to Africa, there will be an effort, I think, to engage and publicly meet with members of civil society in Ethiopia. Kenya is an important trading partner. Many U.S. firms are based in Kenya. Kenya plays an important role in regional security and in trying to negotiate peace in some of the conflicts in the region. It's an important development partner. At the same time, it has a very, very serious security situation on its hands with Al-Shabaab from neighboring Somalia, and also terrorism domestically within Kenya that's causing a lot of problems.
But the president's planned visit to Ethiopia has been met with criticism. Human rights groups criticized the timing of Obama's visit, which comes shortly after the ruling party won elections in May. Critics say that the polls were rigged to give the ruling party a majority. Ethiopia is considered one of the most undemocratic countries on the continent. Peter Pham of the Washington-based Atlantic Council says the critics are not being fair.
The purpose of international engagement is not to go around and pat on the back and self-celebrate countries that are perfect or in full accord with. The purpose of international relations is to engage and to dialogue. And secondly, the primary purpose of a U.S. president's visit is engagement in American interests. And Africa's picture is changing very rapidly to one of great economic growth. Some of the fastest growing economies in the world are in Africa, growing middle class, opportunities for American business, as well as African business.
Security is one of the main reasons why the United States wants to be in good books with the government in Ethiopia. Ethiopia is a major ally against the threat posed by the Islamist militia Al-Shabaab in neighboring Somalia. On the other hand, President Obama's visit is seen as an attempt to counter China's massive penetration in Africa. Yun Sun from the Brookings Institution says that the United States still do not have a real strategy to deal with the competition from China.
It is a possibility that these democratic leaders, when they become the leaders of the country, they have a higher level of affinity toward Western countries. That is absolutely true. But on the other hand, we also see that these African leaders are also very, very, very practical and pragmatic coming to their foreign relations. When they see that the Chinese have the ability, have the cash to promote the infrastructure development inside their country, they don't necessarily reject working with the Chinese.
Africa expert Yun Sun thinks that the United States should adopt a pragmatic approach to deal with the Chinese involvement in Africa. She suggests that the United States and China should cooperate in Africa. But that idea, she says, is not very popular in the United States.
That report was by Jiro Schlich in Washington. Obama will be making the first trip ever made to Kenya by a sitting U.S. president. The Kenyan government has said the fight against terrorism will be central to their discussions with him. During his stay, Obama is expected to deliver a speech highlighting his connections to Kenya, the birthplace of his father. Our Nairobi correspondent James Shimayula has been out on the streets this morning to catch a glimpse of the city as it prepares for the American leader's arrival.
All I can tell you, Abubakar, is that the streets of Nairobi, most of them have been abandoned because those streets connect roads that will be used by Obama as he leaves the airport this evening. And I'm not far from Mombasa Road. In fact, I'm on the northern side of Mombasa Road from where he will be passing. There are a lot of decorations. There is what we call a new grass planted. It's now sprouting. If I can see that from far, the road is beautifully reworked. And people are passing just on the sideline of the roads. And I managed to speak to several Kenyans.
We welcome him. And I think he will come with some goodies.
He's coming back home. His coming to Kenya is actually good for Africa because it shows that Africa is expanding.
The coming of Obama is good because for me, I think it's like a child coming back to his parents for a visit.
To me, it's a welcome relief because, first of all, it shows the confidence that international community is now having in Kenya. And two, it will come with its own also economic growth. That will also be a boost to our tourism. It will be showing the confidence we have in our security.
He's on time because he couldn't come when there are cases on ICC. They could have seen he's siding with the government, but now it's the right time because it's not political.
It's too late. He should have come in the first term. I don't get the economic sense of him coming. We're going to use a lot of money just to welcome him home, and I really don't know where we're going to get the money to plow back.
What time is President Obama scheduled to arrive in Nairobi today?
He's expected at about 7:45 Kenya time, or shortly before 7:45 in the evening Kenya time. I think he should be coming from where you are right now in Germany and then across to Nairobi.
Do you know how his schedule looks like apart from attending the International Entrepreneurship Summit for which he is there and also meeting President Uhuru Kenyatta?
He's going to address Kenyans from Kasarani Stadium, a sports complex on the northern part of Nairobi, and it is from there that he may mingle with groups of maybe opposition leaders, civil society groups, and then just as he will have been at the stadium, he's going to cross over to the neighboring Kenyatta University, where he'll deliver a lecture.
Obama will also be talking about his roots in Kenya. Can you maybe shed light a bit on that?
Yeah, you know, it would have been better if Obama were to go to Kogelo, the birthplace of his father. Unfortunately, we have already been told officially that he'll not be going there because of logistical problems. So there are arrangements I gather from highly placed sources that he'll meet families of his father's birthplace, like the grandmother Sarah Obama, somewhere at an undisclosed location. So we are yet to wait and see what happens.
You mentioned that Obama will not be traveling to see his family in Kogelo, but rather they will come meet him in Nairobi. Do you think there might be any change of plans?
Not at all, because it came from the horse's mouth that he will not go to Kogelo. When I say horse's mouth, it's the United States Ambassador Robert Godek. He made it extremely clear that Obama is not going to Kogelo on Lake Victoria. So I don't think there may be an abrupt plan. But you never know, Abubakar, because security measures have been put in place. So we may be talking when he surprises the people of that place and then maybe dashes there and then comes back to Nairobi. But let's just play that with our ears and our eyes.
James Shimayula in Nairobi.
Africa Link, every weekday on DW Deutsche Welle.
Cameroon is beefing up security on its northern borders following a double suicide attack on the northern city of Maroua this week, which left dozens dead. Cameroon says the two attackers included a woman who came into the country from Nigeria as a merchant and a 9-year-old girl disguised as a beggar. Moki Kinseka reports now.
Medical staff here at the Maroua Regional Hospital are attending to 50 people wounded in the double suicide bombings at the town's main market and Bamari, a popular neighborhood. Yunusa Abo has a fractured leg.
I saw fire and I told myself it was an attack. So I started crying and shouting until the company commander of the military came. He asked me what was wrong, and I said there was an explosion. He told me he was calling for help. People came and helped us.
90% of goods sold in the market are brought from Nigeria, less than 100 kilometers from Maroua. Businessman Mohamed Abo says it is possible the bombs were hidden in the goods and transported to Maroua before the suicide bombers detonated them. He wants the market to be sealed and searched.
When we heard the first explosion, we thought it was a tire puncture. Then we heard a louder sound that shook the whole market. Everybody started running in different directions, and when I got to the scene, I saw the devastation.
Governor Mijiyawa Bakari of Far North Cameroon says parts of the country's border with Nigeria have been sealed off and there will be systematic control of all vehicles, people and goods.
I have asked the military to be more vigilant while checking travelers and their goods. All suspected markets, shops, bars and popular spots have been sealed off. I have also received instructions from President Paul Biya to close parts of Cameroon's borders with Nigeria, where we suspect Boko Haram suicide bombers and fighters can infiltrate.
Less than 2 weeks ago, Mijiyawa Bakari banned women from wearing burqa veils after female suicide bombers used them to conceal explosives in Fotokol on Cameroon's border with Nigeria's Borno State, former strongholds of the Boko Haram terrorist group. This week's attack was still carried out by female suicide bombers, one disguised as a merchant and the other a 9-year-old girl disguised as a beggar. Mijiyawa Bakari says more than a dozen died, but residents estimate at least 24 were killed. The governor says they are still battling to save the lives of victims.
Victims with fractures and amputated body parts have been taken to several hospitals, and I have asked all doctors and medical staff under my administrative area to attend to the victims and stay on their jobs. I've also instructed all competent services to provide the necessary logistics for the wounded.
The attack in Maroua is the fourth in 2 weeks after Fotokol.
Moki Kinseka reporting for Maroua in Northern Cameroon.
Human rights.
In human rights this week, we hear from Ghana, where the government is crafting a new child protection policy. Critics, however, say it has a major flaw. Isaac Kaleji reports.
Children in Ghana suffer from abuses that range from sexual abuse, forced labor, and violence meted out by their parents or guardians. According to statistics from the country's Domestic Violence and Victim Support Unit of the Ghana Police Service, over 40% of children have gone through such abuses and other forms of torture. This new policy will now protect the children and ensure that those child abusers don't go unpunished. Edmund Foley, the lead officer who worked on the policy, tells us why Ghana needs a policy now.
What we inherited from the British system is essentially one we call the response-oriented model. So you wait for something to happen to the child. But we needed to move into a more preventive framework, hence the need for a new policy.
But not all child rights activists are impressed with the document. Awo Aidam Amenya is executive director of child rights group J Initiative.
For me, picking this policy at a glance, I wish to see something around the virtual world. Unfortunately, I haven't seen anything around on the virtual world.
Some of the children have met their tormentors online. This is because mobile internet penetration in Ghana currently stands at 60%. The drafters didn't take into consideration that some children have become victims to sexual abuses after meeting their predators online. For Awo Aidam, this is a setback.
A lot of young people are having internet-enabled devices. A lot of young people are communicating on those things, but they are handy for them. So why wouldn't we include that in a document that we're working on for a country? So are we going to wait and focus on child online protection on a different platform? That is why I feel the policy is limited in scope.
In the meantime, young children are delighted that at least there is a document available that seeks to protect them.
I'm not really influenced by all these problems, but there are people around me who I see suffering, and I'm very sure that, and I hope that the policy will change their life.
When we were writing the BC this year, I saw some girl, she was pregnant, and we were wondering how was that, but she wrote the BC, and like, I was shocked. Like, if it is intensified, like, people will be afraid to do those things to children.
Ghana's Ministry for Gender and Social Protection is hopeful this policy should be the first step towards providing a better environment for children growing up in Ghana. And hopefully, with proper implementation, it's these vulnerable ones who stand to gain more.
Isaac Kaleji reporting. To South Africa now. President Jacob Zuma's private Inkandla residence, which underwent a controversial state-funded security upgrade totaling more than $20 million, was inspected by a cross-party committee of South African lawmakers on Thursday. They wanted to see for themselves how the taxpayers' millions had been spent and expressed shock at the poor workmanship. As Tuzo Kumalo reports, they want the building contractors to be prosecuted for overcharging.
It took close to 4 hours for the Parliamentary Ad Hoc Committee to inspect President Zuma's homestead, known as Inkandla. When the members of Parliament came out, they were disappointed. The representatives of the ruling African National Congress and opposition party members agreed that too much money was paid for a shady job done. The committee found that the cattle crawl, chicken run, swimming pool, amphitheatre, and visitor center, singled out by the public protector as non-security structures that benefited Zuma's family, were in fact all shadily built. Mamaloko Kubai is a member of parliament for the ruling ANC.
What you feel sad about is the money that has been said to be spent, but you can't find it in the property because there's no security at all in that place.
Democratic Alliance Member of Parliament James Self agreed. He described the visitor center that cost millions of South African rand as an embarrassment.
There is no way that you would receive remotely a VIP or a president or anybody else in that room of a very small area and two toilets, one of which wasn't working.
A Hang member, Andres Kloma, insisted that the president should also be held accountable for the wasteful expenditure together with the contractors.
It's very, very scary if our president will be innocent on this one. How does he run this country if he can't see something behind his fence?
And Freedom Front Plus leader Pieter Mulder insisted that Zuma is still liable for paying for some of the non-security structures.
There are certain things that were private, that are not security related, and that the president will have the benefit of that and should therefore pay for that. The swimming pool sounds to me like one of those, and there are other examples as well.
Last year, the public protector, Tulima Donsela, found that President Zuma and his family unduly benefited from the upgrades and asked Zuma to pay back the money used to build non-security structures. However, following new evidence found by the ad hoc committee, confusion has now arisen on who should be held accountable and who should pay.
Tuzukumalo reporting.
Your say.
And as regular listeners know, this is the point in the program where you, the listener, tells us what you think about the stories we have been covering. And do remember, there is a prize to be won. Let's join Jane Ayeko and Miriam Kalisa.
So, we've been going through your comments and topics that we have for you this week, our Obama's visit to Kenya and presidential elections in Burundi. We start with the feedback we got on Obama's visit to Kenya. Rans France Manko Ngongo from Tanzania says, I'm sure 100% of Kenyans will benefit from this crucial visit due to the fact that Obama has Kenyan blood, although he doesn't care to plan more visits to Kenya. Kenya will also benefit from some support to control terrorism actions. Most Kenyans will be happy to see the most top guy in the world stepping Kogero and meet his grandmother from the Luo tribe. Although I know that if Obama was brought up in Kenya and competed for presidency, he would never get it. As the Swahili proverb says, mkono mputu haurambi, which means an empty hand can't be licked.
That's right. Obama's visit to Kenya has indeed attracted a lot of feedback from our listeners. Just like Art Alfreds wrote, I'm not a great fan of President Obama, but isn't it great his father was a black African? And not for nothing, but President Obama is a very bright guy.
And like Alfred's, Kevin Joy says, Obama's presidency will remain an inspiration for eternity. But it appears some people were equally irritated with all this fuss about the president's visit. For instance, Eric Agade wrote, Obama is coming to Kenya specifically for the Global Entrepreneurship Summit. By the way his so-called relatives have turned it, you would think the guy was invited by the villagers for their traditional rites of visiting graves, building a house, being blessed by elders, blah, blah, blah. And I also have another response from Osman Bin Afan Damaturu from Nigeria. He's also concerned about homosexuality in Africa. He says, the UA should stop disturbing African nations with their sinful gay marriage. Even if Kenyans accept same-sex marriage, they will not have any benefit.
And those are just some of the comments we picked on that topic. Apart from Obama's visit in Burundi, presidential elections were conducted amid violence and division among Burundians.
We had a mail from Aliyu Muhammad Al-Qasim from Yobe State in Nigeria who wrote, as long as Pierre Nkurunziza is declared the winner of the presidential poll, the consequences will result in developing a huge setback to the country's political, social and economic well-being. This is due to the fact that Nkurunziza's third-term bid is unconstitutional.
Well, it seems like that's the only comment we had on Burundi. Now, Jen, please tell us our winner for this week.
I think Raz France Mokongongo from Tarmin in Tanzania sent a good response for this week. And since we already have your address, which you included in the response, we'll send you a prize soon. And congratulations for being this week's winner.
Jane Ayeko and Miriam Kaliza. And you too can contribute to your say by writing to Africa Link, DW53110 Bonn, Germany, or sending an email to feedback.africa@dw.com. You can also send an SMS to country code 49160-957-59510. Remember, you too could win a prize. Just answer the question in our opinion corner on Wednesday, and you stand a chance of winning if your comments are read out on your say on Friday. A reminder now of our main stories. U.S. President Barack Obama arrives in Kenya today for a two-day visit, the first ever to be made by a U.S. president. A group of South African lawmakers have been touring President Zuma's Nkandla residence, which is at the center of a scandal over a $24 million upgrade. And there is another story developing. Burundi is expected to announce the results of its presidential elections later in the day. More details on our website, dw.com/Africa. There, we come to the end of this edition of Africa Link. Mark Coldwell will be here with you on Monday. Do join him if you can. Have a pleasant weekend. Until the next time, this is Abubakar Jallo in Bonn.